I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me, yeah. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, oh.
Hey, does anybody want a coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? Anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with R.W.
Oh, cafecito.
Pour yourself a cup and join us.
Un cafecito.
What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing this fine, fine moment in time, depending on where you're listening and when you're listening? This is Coffee with RW, yours truly, Ralph William. I hope you're doing great. Please hit me up on my social medias, at Ralph William on Twitter, WESNRW on Getter, WESN station on TikTok, and Rumble as well, the Ralph William podcast on Rumble, etc., etc., etc. Just to let you guys know, I do have a internet radio station, WESN. You can download the mobile app, or you can ask your Alexa devices, Alexa, start WESN live, and you will tune in to the station and hear a lot of great shows that we have on deck. Of course, you have yours truly, Coffee with RW in the morning. You have Slacker 82 Alpha. You have The Gray Area, who jumps on. You have John DeVito. You have the John Gale program and The Old Man with Dana, Joe, and Eric. You can find them on WESN. Go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com and find the schedule. Thank you, everybody. So this is going to be a kind of an interesting show. I wasn't really trying to get it to that point, but it's kind of like a sort of a history lesson. History lesson on things that people take for granted or don't pay attention to or feel like it won't happen again. And it has this theme of, this theme of the important parts of the United States Constitution, one being freedom of speech, the second being the right to bear arms. Now, of course, these things, you know, I've learned in school and all that, you know, everybody supposedly learns it in school, but never really thought that it would happen in their lifetime where It is tested, and it's tested to the point where it's outright ignored. At least it seems like that, or it probably is. Now, of course, a lot of people like to say that, the United States gives off the illusion that you're free, but it's about the... In terms of us talking about the collective and how they're trying to eliminate national sovereignty and individualism and move towards a collective mind around the world, you know, add the example of communism, everybody under a communist type of rule. So they want to argue that we're not really free here. They're just giving you the illusion. But there are two things that you can see, of course, that it involves your real life. You can see examples of it in other countries, and of course, in this country as well. So we're going to be diving into that. I'm going to be playing clips from James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, who did a podcast interview, I think a few days ago or a day ago. Some interesting insights, not insight, but something that even I mentioned previously on the podcast and on my live shows from comedian JP. You can find him on Rumble, Awaken with JP. And he goes into detail on how he's evolved and changed over the years. Just like myself, when I went to college, and I mentioned this plenty of times, that I was mesmerized, I guess is the right way of saying it, on Marxism and things like that, because I took courses in that in school, in college. And I thought that, oh man, I'm really like learning something, like I'm awakened. And as the years go by, now that I'm seeing certain things in practice, the older I get, how kind of wrong I am. Like, I was one of those people that really kind of maybe not downgraded the country, but downgraded how certain things are done and slapped a racist issue to it, or slapped a class issue to it, and not give the responsibility to the individual. Now, I still believe that there are certain things, people, institutions that are, you know, put in place to keep certain people away from opportunity. I do believe that. But I also give responsibility to individuals as well, that you get what you put in. If you don't put in enough, you don't get enough. And I'm a testament to, I'm a testament to that. So I'm not being high and mighty. I'm full-blown putting myself on notice that what I put in is what I get out. So I'm not trying to stand here and talk down to people. I'm just being real. But speaking of being real, guys, this is Coffee with RW. So if you're, and it's no bad time to have a cup of coffee. So no matter when you're listening to this, please feel free to pour yourself a cup of a beverage. Doesn't have to be coffee, but it's my beverage of choice, coffee. So here you go. Let me pour some for you. All right. Nice. Now that your cup is nice and full and mine is nice and peeping hot, let me take a little sip. Delicious. All right. So where to begin? I don't know exactly where to begin, but since in the Constitution, freedom of speech, number one, right? And as you'll hear later, from a clip from JP, he kind of mentions a saying from Dave Chappelle. The Second Amendment is put in place when the first one is being denied. So that's tried and true. If you have freedom of speech, then you have the opportunity to hear all sides of an argument, all possibilities. No information is suppressed, which kind of goes with a lot of things that's been happening over the years. In terms of vaccinations, I have noticed that many years ago, propaganda was used to get people vaccinated many years ago. And I'm going to be playing a clip that I was sent by someone. I'm not going to say who, because they want to keep their anonymity. I think I got that right. Oh, good for you, RW. And I was just blown away by how similar, and you can find everything that I play here in the description box below, in the description of this podcast. So go find them. It's a plethora of TikTok videos and Rumble. because, of course, we know how YouTube is with banning doctors and now personalities like Dan Bongino and probably going to be Steven Crowder, comedian, and many more to come. I'm pretty sure it's not going to stop there. Like I said before, I feel like they're going to just see where the outlets are coming from through this test experiment with the pandemic. And they're going to plug those holes everywhere so that when the next one comes, and I'm sure they're going to pull this again, they know exactly what to plug up. But as many people have said, you can't keep freedom down. When you plug something up, three more pops up in its place. But anyway, here's a video that was sent to me from a TikTok, obviously, and about the propaganda that was spewed over a pandemic many years ago. Pretty funny.
Very interesting things.
That's not it.
The swine flu wants to challenge me. I'm ready.
Oh, me too, brother. Me too.
Get the swine flu shot. Time is running out.
Let me read to you from one of your own agency's memos planning the campaign to urge Americans to take the shot. The swine flu vaccine has been taken by many important persons, he wrote. Example, President Ford, Henry Kissinger, Elton John, Muhammad Ali, Mary Tyler Moore, Rudolf Nureyev, Walter Cronkite, Ralph Nader, Edward Kennedy, etc., etc. Did you talk to these people beforehand to find out if they plan to take the shot?
I did not know.
Did anybody?
I do not know.
Did you get permission to use their names in your campaign?
I do not know.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
A man with my government, because they knew the facts, but they didn't release those facts because they, if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken it. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic and they can drop off like flies to Mexico. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
Meantime, Judy Roberts and some 4,000 others like her are still waiting for their day in court.
So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
Wow, this sounds awfully familiar, guys. Very, very familiar. Very familiar. And for those of you that haven't had a chance to look at the video, just to let you know, right in the beginning, they used, I didn't quite see who they were, but African-Americans, talking about getting this shot, just like they did now. And of course, there, and like you've heard, side effects from that flu shot. It's a lot of similar. This is the theme for this episode. And I'm going to title this I'm trying to figure out a PG way of saying this, but the crap of the past still smells like crap in the future. Something like that. We'll see. We'll see what how I'll name it. But it's very interesting how they use the same tactics, and this has been going on for years. The same thing, and you think that when they tell you where the origin of a virus or something is the truth or what, but it's hardening. It sucks to find out that you have to wait so many years to get the truth. And after the fact, the damage has already been done. Like, check out this clip that I found. If I can get it to play.
Very interesting things about the Spanish flu. First of all, it didn't start in Spain. Secondly, it wasn't a flu. There's more. But let's start with these two, shall we? If it didn't start in Spain, then where did it? In the US. If it wasn't a flu virus, what was it? It was a bacteria that cause severe and, in most cases, lethal pneumonia. Long story short, during the first half of 1918, an experimental bacterial meningitis vaccine cultured in horses by the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research in New York, now the Rockefeller University, was injected into soldiers at Fort Riley.
And the messed up thing is that these experiments that were done by the Rockefellers, not to say that it's a U.S. thing, but the elitist groups out there, you know, the people that are from BlackRock, the Klaus Schwabs, the Rockefellers, the Bill Gates, Melinda Gates Foundation, things like that, those are the ones to blame because they're the ones that are controlling and have the money means to influence governments and people. And the second thing that troubles me is that they experimented on military, just like they're doing now. These things are not new, what they're doing. They've been doing it for years, and they're going to continue on doing it. And just like history teaches us, these things are going to show how bad they are after the fact. And it's a shame. Because so many people have passed away unnecessarily, whether it was by planning or who knows. But those type of things need to stop. And this is the reason why you need to keep the First Amendment, freedom of speech, up and going. Because suppressing information, especially information that could be detrimental to your health, is really the foundation of what any society should have. Everyone should have it. This shouldn't just be a USA thing. It should be done all over the world. You should be able to speak your mind on things that you think are important and let the overall town square decide if it's usable or not usable, make your own decisions. Why is it that we can have people freely walking around saying that the earth is flat and nobody's trying to shut them down, right? But yeah, you mentioned something about Big Pharma and you're very quickly getting shut down. Very quickly. And then you have issues like Joe Rogan and Spotify and these old musicians wanting to get rid of them or just leave the company because they don't want to be associated with that. But for someone who is at least gives off the illusion that he is the front runner of the First Amendment, Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, he gives off a good, on a podcast that he was on, he gives off some good insights on hypocrisy and how journalists should conduct themselves. And he gives off a little bit about, you know, his book that, of course, he's going to be making money on and hopefully becomes a textbook for the future journalists of the world. And unfortunately, once you get out into the real world, things kind of change. But here's James O'Keefe.
I hate identity politics.
He goes into detail on identity politics, which is crazy. And I understand how everybody, just because some news comes out of Fox and a lot of people disregard it because they feel that Fox is a certain party company. And it shouldn't be that way. Facts are facts are facts. And that's the way these things should be portrayed. But they add a label to it and people disregard it, you know, completely just because of how he says identity politics.
I hate identity politics. My whole mission is to fight against that.
But unfortunately,
people, Well, I hear what you're saying, yeah. but I'm living in a normative world. I understand that that is the current status quo. Sure. When I was raided by the FBI, the ACLU defended me, which was so shocking to right wingers. It almost made their heads explode. They couldn't fathom this. Okay, like, oh, what party appointed the judge that ordered the FBI to stop? Well, it was an Obama appointed federal judge. And I reject the premise that we have to live in this world of sides, because there is only one truth. Now, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're actually describing the current series of events where, well, when the whistleblower comes out against Trump, who we want to know who it is. But yes and no. I think there are some people that are so political that they let their politics get in the way of these values, these primary values. Art Nikki V. Vopper, a Supreme Court case from 2001, when you want to live in a society which places a primary value on freedom of the press, it's a concomitant of life. You have to live with this notion that if a source gives you a document from inside the Pentagon or wherever, the White House, it could be the cleaning lady, whoever, you protect the identity of that person. And the reason some have said, the reason why the ACLU defended me after the feds raided my home in November was because they didn't want it to happen to them.
Sure.
DeSantis administration.
Yeah.
So there still is in the Venn diagram of the, you say, sides.
Integrity. A little bit of
what a stupid son. Of course. And this is the main point. And going back to cancel culture. For those of you that are in the front run, in the front aisle of cancel culture and wanting to cancel people because you don't agree with what they say, please believe that eventually it becomes cannibalistic. It's going to come back to you, and then you're going to be the one canceled. And then you're going to wish, oh man, I wish we didn't walk all over freedom of speech, because now I can't say what I can say. Same thing that's going on with Bill Maher. He's doing a lot of attacking on the left. And because, to his point, they're doing a lot of idiotic and saying a lot of idiotic things. And he's about to get hit, or he is getting hit with some backlash because of his, you know, and he even said it himself. Hey, I'm a comedian, first of all. If you do dumb stuff and it's funny, I'm going to say something. And I mean, can you blame him? So while we're at it, we're going to take a quick little break. I want to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Coffee with RW.
We had to knock her up.
Hey, come here. Listen. Get close. Can you hear me? Are you wearing your mask? Did you get your vaccine? Damn.
Fair use is hugely important.
Hey, listen, you. Not listening to Ralph Williams' podcast when he's live on Podbean is something seriously wrong with you. You got to get yourself checked out. Go ask Dr. Fauci.
Hey, are you looking for a company that provides welding services? You need to create a container home? Then look no further. Go check out HernandezMobileWelding.com. That's HernandezMobileWelding.com, a licensed and insured welding company that is located in the Florida area. Make sure to give them a call at 954-347-4071. That's 954-347-4071. They are based out of Florida for all your welding needs. That's 954-347-4071. Hernandez Mobile Welding.
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with RW. Pour yourself a cup and join us.
You are totally incorrect. Un cafecito.
Oh man, welcome back, everybody. Thank you. It's very crazy the times. When they say that you always constantly have to fight for your those freedoms, they weren't kidding. They were not kidding. Just an example. Here's an example, just a little sample. Sorry, I get caught in other things. James O'Keefe also said in that same interview podcast, which you can find all clips, you know, sources in the description box below, of examples of, you know, journalistic integrity. And those, and just like Joe Rogan, those who are established, like the New York Times, are not bound by the same, you know, I don't even know how to call it, bound by the same laws and problems of misinformation that, let's say, Joe Rogan and somebody else is going through at the moment.
Evident. My problem is when the anonymous sources, right, say, well, you know, people familiar with the matter. Mm-hmm. Who are these people? I think you have a point.
Yeah.
Sources familiar with the matter. We don't have any reason to trust the Washington Post when they tell us that. We don't know who these people are. So I agree with you if they don't show us the evidence, okay? And an analogy I would draw is when you use an anonymous source, which Veritas doesn't really – I don't think I've ever reported something without showing you the evidence. I don't say, well, you have to believe me because I say so. When, as a journalist, when you say you have to believe me because I say so, you're withdrawing from the ATM of your credibility. But you got to make deposits sometimes into the ATM. Deposits, evidence. But the New York Times and Washington Post don't actually give you any evidence. Here's an example. The Trump tax return story. This was a story about a year and a half ago that was concurrent to one of our stories that we did. The New York Times published a story, but they didn't print one document. They didn't show you any pictures. They didn't show you any evidence. They asked you to believe them because they are the New York Times. When I sued the New York Times for defamation, it came out in court documents, in the answer to our defamation lawsuit. It came out that they admitted they got the facts wrong in the article, and they refused to update their article. That means that right now on the internet, there's an article. It's on Wikipedia. Facebook uses it as the fact check. That's wrong, and they admitted in court it's wrong, but it has not been updated. Now, what is that if not disinformation? So when they accuse Joe Rogan of disinformation, the New York Times is in court saying we got it all wrong, and they haven't fixed the article, which remains on the internet. It's literally an Orwellian dystopia. So when they say believe us because people familiar with the matter tell us that this is so, there's no reason for you to believe them unless you can see it for yourself. So again, the rule is, and I write about this book, this is I'm creating a rules for journalism. Don't trust the anonymous sources unless they show you, unless they've given you the actual raw evidence and have a track record of showing you raw evidence every once in a while.
And hey, and he's going to be putting out a book, I guess, pointing all the rules out for journalists. It's a shame that these things aren't being followed now. But that's the main thing. People, it's kind of like elitist. The rules apply to thee, but not for me. So if Joe Rogan, a man who is established in his podcast and other things that he's involved in, is his own private, I guess, company, I guess is a way to say it. And he's not bound by a corporation, I'm assuming, right? I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. I'm just trying to make an example. But when these companies, because he has his own power, like he pretty much has forget you money. Right. Of course, there's another way of saying it, but I'm trying to be PG. He has forget you money. He has the type of money where it doesn't matter, you know, what he does. He can sit around and do nothing and he'll be fine. He has forget you money. And of course, they don't like that. They want you dependent on whatever they provide, right? Whether it be monetarily or some other services. So they want you to be dependent over them. And they want to have that control so that you do what they say. Kind of like the way every governor and school board is still mandating these masks for children, even though the Biden administration has dropped the mandates, on the court level. Sort of like that. They are indirectly influencing these organizations. But anyway, that is the main point that I wanted to get to, is just that freedom of speech and freedom of information, pretty much freedom of information is what I'm getting at, should not be suppressed. Does this mean that we need to have a separate internet, which is what they're doing at the moment? I think they're doing it, or it has been done. It just hasn't rolled out yet. An internet where everything is free flowing. Is that kind of like another dark web type of deal? I'm not sure. But these type of things, information like this should not be suppressed. And just to play devil's advocate, because of the current situation, a lot of people didn't know this information before. Like people want to just live their lives. They want to do what they do on a daily basis, whatever the routine is or whatever spontaneity they have. They don't want to have to go through documents of studies and find out ivermectin works for this or being healthy works for a lot of things, or vitamin D helps stay out of the hospital. They don't want to have to do all that. I think in a way, these kinds of things help, this situation that we're in kind of helped jumpstart the current population to be more mindful of their health, because the government and businesses aren't. They just want control and power and money. So the more you take control over your body and your health and your money and your children, and really have a proactive approach on this, the less control that they can have on you, whether that be being healthy, getting it. And this is one thing that I kind of found out that sounds pretty interesting, getting involved into this. I think it's like a community health insurance group where people pool money together and then use that money to pay for healthcare bills. I think it's more of like a Christian-based thing. I don't know if they have it for people that are non-Christian. But even doing that, becoming more involved in having your own land, growing your own food, teaching your own children, homeschooling, you know, being a little wary about where you spend your money. I mean, of course, that's a lot of work. Where can you have time to play? I mean, that's the trade-off. People need to understand the trade-off of these things. So this is where I'm going to leave off on that, is that freedom of information, freedom of speech needs to be done again, but rejuvenated. It needs to be rejuvenated into the, not only in the U.S., population spirit, but worldwide. You cannot suppress information, especially no matter how toxic or what, how useful it could be, because you have to let people make their own decisions. So, putting a button on that, freedom of speech, one and done. Make sure you do your research and do your due diligence on that aspect. Now, on the side note, I want to make sure that I kind of left a message on this individual's TikTok. The description is in the link to their TikTok in the description below. This is a Michigan reporter, local news anchor who does TikTok. His name is, and I played him before on previous episodes. But here's a little update on his latest TikTok today. But please go and give him a follow. He's a real good example of what journalists and reporters should be. He says it almost at the end of every video. He's a dad. He's a reporter. He's just putting out the facts. He doesn't tell you what to think, but he's just putting everything out there. Let's see what he has to say about today.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? It's Dave Bondi. So Michigan, the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, said that Michigan plans on having the first electric vehicle charging road. So what is this? Basically, as you're driving with your electric vehicle, your car will be charging as it's driving. It's like one of those toy tracks when you were a kid, when the cars were going around it and that caused the car to give it electricity to move. So it's kind of what's happening right here. What do you think about this? Will this be a success? Will you see all roads like this in the country? Very interesting.
That is pretty interesting. Now, I always thought, well, from what I've heard on the things that I've looked at, that it sounds like a good idea with electric cars. But then if this is an environmental thing, the reason why we're moving to more electric vehicles, how does the storage of used up batteries work on the environment? How do you recycle those batteries? How do you reuse them? Where do you put them? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like you're trading off one thing for another. It's just different. So is it really helpful? I'm not sure. It sounds cool. But as long as if it's possible to make solar-powered vehicles where you don't need roads, but then again, it might not, depending on where you live, but if that could be an addition, instead of having charging stations every certain amount of miles or charging roads, which sounds pretty cool, you know, but how much does it cost to charge those? These are the things that you need to weigh out. But I'm not denying, you know, we need to, you know, help out the environment, yes, but why not attack the environment on where it's noticed and it's happening on a daily basis? The oceans are being polluted all the time. Why not give a $1 trillion fine for every time a company pollutes the ocean? Now, if you want to talk about the deficit, it's going to replenish this deficit in the United States, or it's going to eliminate pollution. But either way, it's going to help. So why not fine these companies that are polluting? Why not fine China that is polluting way more than the United States $1 trillion for polluting the environment? I'm sure this will help them stop or pay out the deficit on a yearly basis, killing that deficit. That's what I say. But then again, they're going to have to spike up the price to the consumer, because really the people that pay for this is us. So it's a give and take, but there's something that needs to be talked about, is really attacking the environment where you see it the most. Polluting waters, polluting the city, you know, New York, this Los Angeles, the homeless. It's getting very bad. But those are the things that need to get fixed. You know, maybe using plastics has something to do with it. Yeah, because if you eliminate the plastics, biodegradable straws, those paper straws now, that seems to be helpful, right? But that's not just the only thing. What about the damage that's already been done to the oceans? Nobody wants to talk about that. The oil spill that happened many years ago in the Gulf. What about that damage? Pretty sure we are still cleaning off animals from oil spills. But let's not get off that too much topic. Let's see where else I got. These are clips that I've gotten off of TikTok. This is my TikTok picks of the day. And of course, you can find all those links in the description box below.
The COVID-19.
This is crazy, because I found this sent to me by a list by you know, someone that listens to the show and that follows me on TikTok. Apparently they found this message. I don't know, maybe it was a healthcare automated service or something. And it might be a message of things to come. And it's weird because the date that they give is on my birthday. So what a birthday present it would be to end this emergency pandemic. But this is what they say in terms of the current pandemic that we're going through.
The COVID-19 public health emergency is ending on April 30th, 2022. During this time,
Can I play that for you one more time?
The COVID-19 public health emergency is ending on April 30th, 2022. During this time,
Now, that's pretty interesting. Hopefully that's true. And why they pick that date? I mean, thank you. That's a birthday present for me. You're going to be killing like 90% of my content. But hey, I'd rather the whole world to get back somewhat to normalcy and corrupt people taking the justice than, you know, me finding more COVID content to unleash. Let's see what we have next.
China.
So this is a gentleman who I recommend everybody follow on TikTok. He does a lot of health things. Gives a lot of health information out there. He goes through studies and talks about the studies. Now, he's going to be saying, and this is kind of the theme of this episode, is knowing your history.
This question. China, 213 BC. That's the first known state-sponsored book burning. The Chinese emperor at the time thought that if he burned all the documents in the kingdom, history would begin with him. In 1933, in Berlin and elsewhere, Nazi forces led the burning of tens of thousands of books, from the works of Sigmund Freud to those of Jack London. Quote, "The old goes up in flames, the new shall be fashioned from the flame in our hearts," end quote. That is the exact messaging from Nazi propaganda. Censoring information, even if it's wrong information, will always lead to distrust and division. An open dialogue with multiple angles of opinion will inevitably bring forth truth. It may take time and debate, but voices of differing opinion may just be one of the most beautiful gifts we as humans have been given.
Man, I couldn't have said it better myself. That is true. Kind of goes on with what's going on today with censorship and quote unquote book burning. Can you imagine if Peter McCullough and Robert Malone, all their information that they put out there is eliminated from the internet? It's pretty crazy, and it's happened to other people as well. And it's pretty, and it's a current form of book burning. You're eliminating the fact that people pushing propaganda did not have your right mind. Your right state of mind, and or they weren't in their right state of mind, but they didn't have you in their mind. Anyway, they don't really care about us. That's pretty much the point that I'm trying to make. And unfortunately, we have to look at the past to really understand the future. This is really teaching people the importance of, I'm looking, now that I'm a older adult, really don't know like how important history was when I was in school. But of course, when you're a kid, you don't really know that it's important. These things, you know, at a young age, it doesn't really apply. Like, you want to go do sports, you know, play with your friends, play with your, find a significant other, whatever it is. But you're not putting in your mind that your government is secretly committing genocide or taking away your freedoms or eliminating bodily sovereignty. You're not thinking that they would do that. It seems like a little jolt on reality to show you what is really important in the world. Moving on. Let's see what else we got here.
China, 213 BC. That's the...
I already played that. I'm sorry.
China.
Oh, I have two of those?
This question.
Sorry. Here's now, to be honest, I'm not sure where this is from, but you can go to the original clip in the description box and find out for yourself. But this is a startling statistic on, well, just take a listen.
This question. Please can you advise on deaths purely from COVID with no other underlying causes? And the number is 17,371. Now, I know that 17,000 human beings and to their friends, their families, their partners, they each one of those would have been a tragedy. But just think about that number. 700,000 people die in this country every year. We have just been through 2 years of on-off lockdown, of our rights and privileges being taken away, of perhaps many people not being diagnosed for upcoming serious diseases, and we find out that only 17,000 people have died with or of COVID with no other underlying conditions. I think we need to have a proper debate about this.
Yes, we do. And my heart goes out to those that we've lost, and I'm sorry. Everybody's health is important and life is important. But if someone was, and I think this person was a news anchor saying this in the news anchor, so kudos for him. But if somebody was to say that, they would be censored and belittified. Belittified? Did I say that? Did I use that word correctly? Let me know in the comments or wherever you hear this. Make sure to give us a review if you're listening to this on iTunes and other podcast platforms. Let us know what you think. I know there's many podcasts to choose from. I want to thank you for clicking on this one and let us know your thoughts and keep us moving. So these things are a little difficult to swallow, because when you ask another news company or somebody else, they would tell you 800,000 people died. That's a lot of people. But the ones who really died specifically of this disease, 17,000. It's quite different. Quite a big difference. Big difference. But okay. But censorship, right? Something that we shouldn't brush off easily. Let's move on. Let's see what else I got here.
Seems like Kanye West is...
Now, this is something that I... Hold on. Do I really want to go to this point? Well... All right, so before we get there, this is just a side note. It has nothing to do with COVID. But before we get there, I do want to mention one thing. I didn't get a clip of this. I don't know if I had it. Maybe I should. I did notice clips surfacing of a woman interviewing an embalmer who has embalmed many people who have died of COVID and with the jabs, and showing video of the differences in the blood clots that they have in their bodies. And you can see quite different in a normal blood clot and the blood clot of those who have gotten the jab. And it is very different. It's very long. It extends quite long in their body. It kind of branches off into little sections like a tree branch. And it's a lot tougher and thicker and rubberier, whatever. It's more rubber. So why is this the only one coming out? Why hasn't there been a lot of people doing this? And I've mentioned this previously on my podcasts. Live and pre-recorded. Where are the autopsies of people with jabs and people who have had the virus? And right now we're seeing this resurface, now we're seeing this surfacing. They are showing, it's a little dark. I'm not an embalmer. I don't know anything about this, but it's a little darker, like it seems more blacker, like tarish, at least the one that I saw. And it's kind of creepy looking. It's kind of creepy looking. Kind of reminds me of Venom. how the texture of Venom and how he looked, or it looked. If you've seen the movie with Tom Hardy, it's a good movie. Okay, so moving on. Now that I got that out the way. Just on a side note from the metaverse and the universe and NFTs, this is another TikToker that I think you guys should check out. He does a lot of crypto stuff. And he mentions here Kanye West and Kanye West's thoughts on NFT. And I think he might have a point.
Seems like Kanye West is anti-NFT. He posted this photo and it says, "My focus is on building real products in the real world, real food, real clothes, real shelter. Do not ask me to do an effing NFT." He said, "Stop asking me to do NFTs. I'm not finna co-sign. For now, I'm not on that wave. I make music and products in the real world." Man, I feel this though. Someone like Kanye is making real stuff for Earth, not the metaverse. He's making it for the universe. Reminds me of this quote right here: "They retreat into the metaverse while we go and conquer the universe." I respect Kanye for this. Let me know what you guys think.
That's a good little quote right there, man. I hope that's a t-shirt. "They retreat into the metaverse while we conquer the universe." Now that's a man worthy of presidential No, it's fine. That's right, Kanye. Stay on your lane. But good stuff, man. Good music. So yeah, these are the things that are happening. And NFT, keep that however you, if you can make money off of it, do you, boo. Do you. Let's see if I have one more clip of Dave Bondi on TikTok. He's going to be going through a list of news for today. And you might need to pay attention and follow this individual on TikTok.
Hey, everyone. How you doing? It's Dave Bondi giving you an update. Today is Tuesday, February 1st. Go ahead and follow me on TikTok for breaking news and news updates as it happens. So we are getting a winter storm here in Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana. If you are in these parts, be ready. There could be some areas with more than a foot of snow that will be falling. Some stories that you may not hear anywhere else. A Virginia school district is threatening to suspend students if they unmask, if they take their mask off. This is despite the governor saying that there are no mask mandates in the state. So that continues there. The FDA is warning about two recalled COVID-19 tests. There are two tests that have been recalled. Also, have you gotten those government, the COVID-19 tests in the mail? Well, if they sit out in your mailbox in the cold, if you're in a cold winter state or a cold weather state, they may not be accurate. So you may not get the results that you want. Also, we are learning more about a woman who has been arrested after two children and 34 dogs have been removed from a feces-covered basement. That is extremely, just very disturbing. And in Baltimore, 77% at a Baltimore high school reading at an elementary level, some at a kindergarten level. That's just really sad. And police are saying that thieves are stealing catalytic converters on cars across the nation. The trucker convoy in Canada remains in Ottawa. They could be staying there for months. They have enough money to stay there for months. So that's happening as well. These are your news headlines for Tuesday, February 1st. Go ahead and follow me on TikTok for all of your updates.
That was Dave Bondi. Make sure to go follow that individual. Good guy. Straight to the point with the news. Just a little quick update on, now I don't know how true this is. This is from another TikToker who is in Canada. I believe he is one of the truck drivers. He did mention about the police being ushered in to where they're at, trying to remove the truck drivers. And I don't know if this remove them meaning, you know, divert them to a different location in terms of the trucks, or removing them from their trucks and having other people take over the trucks. So I don't know how that's good, you know, how true that is or what's happening there. But my hearts and my prayers goes out to the truck drivers, and it's good for you guys that you're fighting for everybody else. Someone has to, because these guys aren't doing it. The elitists aren't doing it anyway. So now moving on, and I think I'm running a little late. in terms of this episode. So I'll try and make this go as smoothly as I can. On the Second Amendment, Awaken with JP is a comedian. JP is a comedian. You might have seen him on the Walk for the Mandates march that was done, I believe, towards the end of January in D.C. He was the MC there. He's a smart, funny guy. And him, just like me, we came up to think a certain way about, you know, the Second Amendment and Marxism and things like that. Well, I don't know about him with Marxism. That was with me. But he talks in this video, which I clipped several clips, which was funny, the reasons why he had a change of heart in terms of the Second Amendment. And he's going to be going through many different details on why the Second Amendment should be upheld and made even stronger. And once again, kicking in the theme of this episode is know your history, because you're going to repeat it. And there's just certain histories that we cannot afford to repeat here. So let's get started with what JP said on one of the things about the Second Amendment.
Take a look. Just think about it. What if we face a tyrannical government who turned against us using the military? We would need guns to form a militia to fight the oppressive government.
A tyrannical government? Well, that could never happen. I was wrong, because it's happening. I mean, even outside of what's happening in the U.S., take a look at what's happening in Australia and Canada with the tyrannical regimes keeping people locked in their homes, taking people out of their homes to detain them, and putting people into camps. Do you think the tyrannical powers that be just don't want to go that far in the U.S.? No, of course they do. There's just one minor difference. The U.S. population is armed. The Second Amendment is intended to allow citizens to protect themselves from a tyrannical government. But Australian Canadian citizens have been disarmed, which means they don't have any inherent protection against the authoritarian government and what they're trying to do to those people right now. And how can the Chinese Communist Party abusively walk all over their citizens? Well, just like Australia and Canada, China disarmed their population a long time ago. Since making my old anti-gun video, I've since learned the Founding Fathers were wise enough and humble enough to know that humans are susceptible to being corrupted by power. That's why they had the foresight to empower future generations to protect themselves from people in the government who became corrupted by power. Protect themselves with the Second Amendment. Let's move on.
That's just one good point. Let's keep it moving so that I can get these some of these points out there. I might have to skip just for the sake of time. But let's see if he goes into a history lesson here.
Old JP thought owning a gun to protect your family was just a deceiving excuse to own a murder weapon. Wrong again, JP. Like, I have a family now. So now I very much understand that being able to protect your family is part of what makes you a true man, father, and husband, instead of relying on someone else to protect your family. Now, if you're like, well, JP, I'm not set up to protect my family, so what are you saying? I'm saying you're not a real man. I think better to have a gun to protect your family and not need it than need a gun to protect your family and not have it.
Oh, now that's some wise words. Let's keep it moving, JP. Let us know about history.
Next, some countries that outlaw guns don't have mass public shootings. We can remind ourselves that gun laws only affect law-abiding citizens, not criminals. Mass shooters are criminals. Criminals aren't like, well, I was going to murder someone with a gun, but I don't want to risk getting a gun possession charge to go along with my murder charge. So I'm not going to do it. I'll obey the gun law. If a potential mass shooter knew that everyone around him was armed, or her, you psychotic women, then he'd be pretty discouraged from opening fire. That's why very few mass shootings happen in Texas, because everybody knows that most people in Texas are carrying. In fact, last year in Texas, there was a crazy person walked into a church, opened fire, but he was quickly shot and killed by a man carrying his own gun. Consider this. Switzerland issues all of their citizens a gun and the proper gun training to go with it. And that helps give Switzerland the lowest rate of gun crime out of any civilized country in the world. Let's bring this home.
Some countries that outlaw guns don't have mass public shootings.
Yeah, so that's a good point right there. And I'm trying to drive to that history part, JP. You're letting me down here. That's some good points, though. If everybody was able to arm themselves, crime would be pretty down. Just ask New York.
Consider these shocking historical facts about what happens when a government disarms their population. In 1911, Turkey established gun control. Then from 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. In 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control. And from 1923 to 1953, about 20 million dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. China established gun control in 1935. Then from 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Germany established gun control in 1938. Then from 1939 to 1945, a total of 13 million Jews, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Cambodia established gun control in 1956. Then from 1975 to 1977, 1 million educated people, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Guatemala established gun control in 1964. Then from 1964 to 1981, 100,000 Mayan Indians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Uganda established gun control in 1970. Then from 1971 to 1979, 300,000 Christians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. 56 million people were rounded up and exterminated in the 20th century because of gun control. It is essential for America to protect our Second Amendment. It's not a stretch to say that our current government is already enacting tyrannical mandates and eroding our freedoms. And the same administration wants to get our country to a point where the citizens are disarmed. We know history, and therefore we know it's important to stay armed. Again, consider Australia, Canada, China, and even North Korea. They have severe tyrannical rule and abuse because those societies are not armed.
And I am part of Guatemalan, and that is quite sucky to hear. I'm part Guatemalan and part Cuban. And in those two countries, the citizens could not be armed, and communism has caused significant amount of deaths among people than any other, and those citizens didn't have a way to defend themselves. Come on, JP, let's bring it on home.
A fun fact, during World War II, Japan decided not to invade mainland America because they knew most Americans are armed. The current administration will shamelessly use any public shooting to try to persuade the public through fear-mongering and deception to think it would be a good idea for us to turn in our guns. But keeping history, and therefore the vast importance of the Second Amendment in mind, will probably serve us much better than keeping their propaganda in mind. History teaches us when a government tries to take your guns, that's the exact government you will soon need to protect yourself against. In conclusion,
everybody, make sure to keep the First, the Second Amendment in high regards when going to the polls, and find out where everybody stands on this, because without these first two, everything else doesn't really matter. And remember, do your due diligence on everything. Everything that is being told to you, everything that is being, you know, the propaganda is being spewed to you, even from me, even from podcasters. Do your due diligence and find out for yourself. Make an educated decision when choosing your representatives, which is coming soon. Very soon. And if you have the opportunity to remove someone from office that does not align with these views, then do it with reckless abandon, all right? Because it's not only those, it's not only just us here that have to deal with it, but it's your future kids that are going to have to deal with it. And it's bad enough that we have to put these masks on them, and some of them are not learning properly. But to not know that you, and for them not to know that they don't have the right to ask questions or defend themselves from a tyrannical government, that should be illegal. Take care, guys. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. Make sure to follow everything and everything that I do. And I'll catch you guys next time. Peace.